Bastard Athletic Training Program. And with me, as you all probably know, is Jeremy Jackson. And it's kind of like we have a role reversal here, but I'll give the background on why we're doing it this way. Jeremy invited us down, myself and Dr. Yellen, Josh Yellen, who's our program director, invited us down to talk about athletic training education and our program as well. And as we talked, I just thought the opportunity is tremendous with the setup he's got here. And I think he's probably not very good on self-promotion without a little push. And so what I thought is we could actually talk to him about his program, about how it came to be, and probably more importantly, where he wants to take it. I asked him to talk a little about, for those in the GHATS area as well as those listening maybe nationally, kind of what his goal was, how it came about, like I said, but also what he wants to do for athletic trainers. We get CEUs out of this, and finally, and I'll try and kind of coax him along or guide him, but just kind of what you want to get out of this. And I know it's not, you really don't get anything personally out of it other than you get for the profession. It's not financial for you.
Right.
So why are you doing it, and where do you want to take it? Would you say just maybe kind of start off kind of how it came about?
All right, so you can see sitting over here is Sarah Avino. She's actually one of my students. She's a junior, or she will be a senior next year at Pasadena High School. And Sarah and Jasmine, thanks for coming. Neither of them are getting anything, but they are student athletic trainers, and they're getting to be here. And so for me, like that, I guess that would completely sum up why I'm doing the podcast, is because I'm bringing two students that desire to be athletic trainers to a sports medicine conference that I was telling Jasmine earlier, I feel is sometimes over my head. So these students are getting exposed to things that, you know, professionals are, you know, still learning about. And, you know, they're getting to meet and interact with these professionals that could be their boss one day. And really that's why I'm doing this. Most of the time when we do this, it's with my Sports Medicine 1 kid. It's an introduction course. And, you know, we're working on improving that towards only athletic training students. But I want them to see the options that are out there for sports medicine. So if they take the sports medicine course and decide they want to be a registered dietitian, well, we've talked to Dr. Penny Wilson and Brett Singer. You know, if they decide they want to be a physical therapist, well, we're going to talk to Ryan Collins here in a minute. They, you know, want to be an orthopedic surgeon, well, we just talked to Dr. Lowe or Dr. Shaw. And, you know, they're getting to see all this stuff. And that's really why I continue to do it, is for the students. And then as I've gone about it, and especially after meeting you guys, like my wife is really good about encouraging me and saying good job. And, you know, she's listening live. And so, you know, I thank her for all the support that she's given. But with you guys being like, hey, Jim, you know, this thing is really awesome, you know.
And I think I told you that about 100 times. How awesome is this? Is really.
And so with that, and you're like, well, here, look, we can help you move it forward. And I've always wanted to do that. I want it to be bigger. I want it to reach more people. You know, I mean, everybody wants to do something great, but this is just something that I started and I'm learning as I'm going. I'm not in any way an expert. But
actually, that was my next question. I don't mean to cut you off, but I want to make sure we get that. You are not a media person. You no. actually started. So, and make sure we hit on that, because I want everybody out there to know that they can do these kind of things as well. But go ahead, continue.
Well, nobody else can do this.
They can't do it. They can't take over sports medicine. But yeah, you didn't come from, you didn't get your degree in audio science or anything like that. But go ahead and finish your thought, and then we'll kind of get into that a little bit.
I'm not quite sure where I was.
You were talking about how you just did start, you know, your wife was giving you feedback, but gotcha. It was still at this level. But it's for the students, and that's one of the things I want to make sure. I keep telling you how awesome it is. I want to make sure that this does not get out of their hands.
Right.
This is designed for them. You developed it for them, but it goes back to the students have a chance to learn from experts that come visit them in their school, in their athletic training area. And that's the goal, that's your mission, you might say, is to go towards the students.
Yeah, and so, you know, since you asked me those questions, you know, what would you like it to be? Where would you like to see it? And, you know, what's the main focus? And I absolutely have to include the students, you know, because it's something I do with my class. But I'm in no way of, I guess, disagreeable. I would be completely for if we made the content where it was slightly over their head, just so that it applies to all athletic trainers, because really the people downloading it are going to be athletic trainers. And why not? Why limit the students? Why dumb it down for them? And so if I can raise the bar for the content, even if they don't understand it, Jasmine was sitting here telling me that she didn't understand some of it, but she may remember it when she goes to take anatomy class this summer. She's like, oh yeah, I remember Dr. Shaw talking about this. I remember Dr. Lowe talking about this. And then now she's connecting that, and she's already met a professional. And so I'm really excited about the opportunity to get with you guys and to work through some of these plans and goals and objectives. And improve the level of content so that it naturally becomes more popular.
But I think it's important too, when you mentioned about not dumbing it down to the students, but I think your guests need to understand that they need to be able to relate whatever their knowledge is about a subject. They need to relate it to individuals that aren't as educated. You know, high school students or parents. Parents may be blue-collar workers. They're not going to understand shoulder impingement syndrome or, you know, nutrition facts. And I think that, you know, they may be used to talking to each other all day, but they also need to relate it to a level of individual that doesn't have the background in education. I think that's important when they come on your show. You really highlight that. You make them talk to the students, and yet the information is still progressed so the athletic trainer can learn something as well. So I think that's really a neat part of your show. But I wanted to hit on this, but talk about how you developed this, because you literally just came up with it. You mentioned you went to a conference. So talk about how this all came. I mean, when I look at it, you know, I can wire a stereo system. I can buy a stereo and hook it up and get music. But when I look at this, it's like, how in the world does all this make sense? And you came from that same kind of area where you didn't have this audio. I know you said you mentioned you did it at church a little bit, but this is really, you know, something you developed from scratch, right?
Pretty much. Well, honestly, it all started kind of at the same time. I wanted to do podcasts because I've heard about it and I didn't know what it was. And so I wanted to record my episodes with my students, my lessons with my students, and then post it online so that if they were absent, if they needed to review, then I could do that. And that's originally how it started when I was teaching biology. And then it right about the time that I was starting to give up on that, we switched to being not science and math teachers, Bill and I, but we were only sports medicine teachers. And then I was like, well, now I got a lot more time. And then, so I wrote some grants, I got some equipment, and so then I started just doing, well, what the students did was take pictures and then do a photo story of how to tape a thumb, and then I posted it to YouTube. Well, that's not really a podcast, right? And so then I went to this conference at TCEA, Texas Computer Educators Association, and Mark Cockrell was doing podcasting live. So what they actually did was a presentation where they were podcasting it live, and then, you know, they told us how to do it, what they do, and then they did like a 15-minute episode. And so then I'm like, oh, I see how it works now. It's a talk show kind of thing. And so that's where I came from. But at the same time, the guy that ran the sound at the church, like I was friends with him, so I'd go and sit up in the balcony with him and learn about what he was doing. And then he went to a different church because that's where his girlfriend was going. And so I, just because I was the only one that had any idea, I was now the person running the sound at church. So then I just learned by doing, you know. And I think that's one thing that I've mentioned before is I'm not really afraid to fail. You know, I just go for it, and if I fail, it happens.
So no formal education in audio. No. It's just you just picked it up along the way.
Right.
Yeah. And it's turned into this. And it's turned into something big. So something else that was interesting to me is you can get actually used for this as an athletic trainer. Can you just briefly talk about that little process?
All right, so I'm actually the webmaster for GHATS, the Greater Houston Athletic Trainer Society, so GHATS.org, and that's who sponsors the CEU opportunity. I was friends with Bob, and I've talked with him before, and so he is one of the GHATS people that issues CEUs or is kind of in control of that, and I was like, hey, do you think we could do this? He was like, yeah, sure, you know, that's fine. That'd be awesome. And so, you know, I began posting the stuff on my website, and then the course evaluation is on ghats.org in the members area. And so if you're members of GHATS, which is $20 for a year, then you can do all the course evaluations. And so, you know, as we develop this, we're going to create a better system for getting certificates out and those kind of things, and, you know, creating quizzes. But being a member of GHATS, it benefits them because there could be people from all over the country or the world becoming members and, you know, increasing the revenue for GHATS, and that's my local organization. And then at the same time, they're getting these CEUs while, like you said, while they're sitting on the back porch, while they're driving to work, while they're working out. I mean, I listen to Dave Ramsey all the time when I'm working out, and, you know, that kind of thing. So I listen to a lot of podcasts when I'm working out, and people could be doing the same thing but getting the credit for professional development. And so that's another reason is I want to improve the level of the content so that it is a go-to source for CEUs rather than just, I'm in a pinch, I got to find something, this is $20.
Just give a quick email.
Right.
Now, something I liked about your setup is you don't necessarily invite, you do invite people, but you also advertise that you will take speakers. So anybody out there that wants to talk about a topic, you will have on the show if they want, correct?
pretty much yeah. that pertains to sports medicine.
Yeah, sports medicine. So if anybody's out there that's, you know, you have it, you went to a conference and you really think this is a neat concept, or you read about this and you just want to discuss. I think you had an interesting one. I listened to part of it. Was individuals that don't believe in ice. You had them on. You had a debate. Like right. a pro and con kind of thing. And I mean, that's where I think I would like to see this. And we can make, you know, go through the BOC to get the CEUs, but make a quiz out of it. Make, you know, and not just, you know, listen to it, get the CEUs. It challenges you. Maybe get, you know, higher ups in the CEUs. We look at PTA and, you know, really keep sports medicine. But I think that's awesome. I mean, so anybody out there that has an idea or a concept that they want to cover. I mean, we literally, it's funny how it came about with us is Penny Wilson was on there. And she had been on TV a couple times. And she would always tell me, he's like, hey, I'll be on this and this and this. And, at the time I was doing my postdoc, so I wasn't sure I was getting back in the profession. I kind of put it off in the back of my mind. I listened to her and everything. And about 3 or 4 months ago, I talked to Dr. Yell and I said, hey, you know what? This is something I want you to look at. We could really get on this. This would be really neat. And so we came up with the idea that we could talk about graduate education. Or we wanted to discuss our program, but mostly the entry-level master's for those, especially in Texas, who don't have their BOC certification. We want to talk about a program, and it turned into this, you know, wow, this is just an asset to the, I think what you're doing for the profession is one thing. You mentioned, you know, you're helping your association, and you are, because you're giving them the CEU opportunity, but you're also putting knowledge out there.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of things, yeah, I can serve on a committee, and I can, you know, I can be, you know, be an officer or something. That's one thing. You're serving your profession, but you're actually putting knowledge out there for everybody, and you're coordinating this group of experts. So, can you just briefly tell me kind of some of the areas that, for those that are listening, that may have an idea, who have you had on, you know, recently, or what areas have they focused on? Maybe spur some ideas out there.
All right, so I will go ahead and say we do have BOC number, BOC provider number. So it is, you can get BOC CEU for this. And so anybody listening anywhere that's a certified athletic trainer can get the continuation credits. It's not just like a state or a local number or something like that. So it is BOC. But, if you go to sportsmedicinebroadcast.com, we actually have 86 episodes, I think, up to date, 85, 86. And, you know, we've had a sports psychologist. We've had Dr. Summer Ott.
Who will be on shortly.
We'll be on shortly. You know, she's a world-class neuropsychologist, you know, concussion expert. We had Dr. Penny Wilson come on twice. She recommended Brett Singer. She recommended Dr. Nabok and Yellen, who had been on there. 4 or 5, and then after all this, they've been on there about 40 times.
Yeah, poor listeners.
And so we had Roland Ramirez from the Houston Texans. We had Josh Stone and Steve Canelli. Steve Canelli is an athletic trainer for the New York Giants, and Josh Stone is an editor for Human Kinetics. And they were going back and forth about whether or not it's ice, and, you know, Steve was saying you should use ice. But just know why, and Josh was saying, you know, don't use ice at all, and that kind of thing. And so I don't feel that I'm an expert, and so I talk to experts. I talk to people that know more than me so that I can learn too. And so, you know, bringing in the person for the students, but also somebody that's going to appeal to me, because I am an athletic trainer. I am, you know, 10 years in the profession. And so if I can continue to learn, in which every single Wednesday that I have a podcast, I'm learning something about a master's program. I learned actually what an entry-level master's is when you guys came, because to me, I thought it meant you come in as a freshman in college and then, you know, like
the dual.
Yeah. And so just talking to you guys, I'm like, oh, well, that makes sense now. And I understand why people want to do that. They want to create that. And, you know, it should create higher quality results in the end. And so, you know, I don't know how many other – I can't think of all the other – we've had plenty of athletic trainers come on. We had Will Carroll. If you're on Twitter, he's an injury expert. So he's not even an athletic trainer, but he writes for Bleacher Report, and he's one of those people that's always in the know with professional sports injuries, and has always got an opinion on professional sports injuries and that kind of thing. And Jeff Stotts writes for RotoWire, which you may know from Yahoo Fantasy Sports. They're the ones that publish the injury reports on Yahoo Fantasy Sports. So he came on. We had him there. You know, it was via Skype. So we can really talk to anybody in the world. I have my friend who lives in a different country. He had to wake up at like 11 o'clock at night or whatever it was so that he could be on with us at like 8 in the morning. You know, he's a former athletic trainer. And with that one, we just told stories of how me and him did dumb stuff when we were student athletic trainer in high school. And, you know, it's things that, hey, you know, you can just get a laugh at, or you can figure out, hey, I want to make sure my students don't do this because I didn't know that they were doing it behind my back. And so...
You didn't record that one, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was posted. That was posted. I gave a warning at the beginning. Hey, you might want to let your students listen or see this. So.
So, from a student aspect, what is... Sarah, right? So from, you know, you've had many experts come on. What do you see the experts bringing? Obviously, you hear about stuff. Does it hit home, or is it to give you the opportunity to see different areas that you may want to match yourself up with? What's the biggest benefit that you see from the student aspect?
I think it's getting to meet all of the people that come in and getting to hear their experiences, learning new things from them. Things that Jackson doesn't know, that we both learn at the same time. So it benefits all of us.
And you guys are involved in the show as well, right? You're not just sitting there listening. What do you guys? What is your responsibility as a student group? I know you have individual ones. Just kind of just tell, like, what is your...
Well, Sarah was actually two years ago. She had it as a freshman. And so she could probably talk to what it looked like. Tell us what it looked like, or what it was like whenever you were in the sports medicine class.
Whenever, I think we had just barely started inviting people, didn't we? I think it was, we barely started inviting people, so we were kind of new, and we would just work the recording, and we were learning to use the microphones, and we were just learning as we go, and it was kind of hard at first, and then we had to edit everything, take out the parts that we would mess up, or we would practice, and we had to edit those, but it was a lot of practice, and then on Wednesdays we would have our podcast.
Did you have a favorite topic?
I don't know, really. No. I don't think so.
Nothing stuck out, so everything was interesting.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I'm sure there was some that were boring. It just didn't. But, I mean, I think that's in the whole profession.
Like
there's things I'm interested in that, you know, I'm just not a fan of doing other things that aren't as fun. It's natural.
I think I enjoyed the most is rehab. I like learning rehab. But I didn't like the one where they asked us about our work because I felt like Jackson was watching this.
Oh, yeah?
Like, do you like working? Do you like moving all the ice? No.
Well, you just give the generic, yes, it's the best thing. That's my favorite job. Yes, that's my favorite job. So what have you learned from this, either from the broadcasting side or from the student athletic training side? Can you think you really learned something out of this, other than individuals' topics, how to coordinate? Or?
I think I learned how to communicate better with people that I don't really know. I've learned to talk to people that know more than me. I think I've experienced a lot more than I thought I ever would.
Probably not as afraid to ask questions when you don't understand something.
Yes,
because you see it as expert. And I don't want to ask them to sound stupid. But, you know, that's the thing you learn. There's no stupid questions. If you don't understand something, you don't understand it. So you have to ask a question when you're in class. Same thing. I think Dr. Yellen kind of got onto his class the other day. He said, if you don't say something, I don't know that you're not learning and it's not clicking. So you have to tell me. And that's important. Whenever they're an expert. And that's why they're there. That's how they became experts. They learn. That they hopefully will want to pass that on to individuals as well.
That's one thing Jackson's always told us, is not to be afraid to ask questions. So I think I've learned more how to ask questions and figure something out. Or if I don't want to ask a question, I'll try to remember something. A lot of times I don't ask questions, but I don't know.
Because you're that smart. You don't need to ask questions, right?
No, that's not it.
So, questions I had for you back, you know, I mentioned that it was, you know, obviously you want to keep this from a student focus, but how far do you want, we talked about, you know, have the equipment you need to function. There's always room for better equipment,
right.
You know, but at the same time we don't want to turn into something and just buy things because we want them, but, you know, what do you look at for, say, in 5 years? Where would you like to be? Would you like to have a national show, you know, a national tune-in show? Would you like to keep it at the podcast level? Do you have any ideas? Because I think it's growing. I mean, it has grown, obviously, for a couple of years. But how far do you want it to grow? Do you want to keep it at the local level? What are your thoughts, or have you thought about that? Because now this is a celebrity, almost. You're getting all these tweets and retweets.
Yeah, right. I don't know about it's a celebrity. But I have thought about, and I mean, honestly, I would like to take it as big as it would go. I'm not sure that I would want to have like a national call-in show, but with the podcast, I can have somebody call in. I can have Skype or Google Plus, or even with the other cool tools on Google, I can have somebody phone in and then be part of the conversation. What I really want, and I feel is lacking now, is the live interaction. Because Jasmine, look down on the right-hand side of the screen. How many people are? It says one viewer. Yeah. So. As of right now, there's only one person viewing this live. It'll be loaded on YouTube, you know, the whole 8 hours, because we're doing one stream per day. So I would like for that number to be, you know, 5, 10, you know, 200, 500, 1,000.
I think it's really cool. You have live, you have Twitter open while you're doing this, so you can, people can actually tweet questions.
Right.
I think that's happened before with a couple people that listen faithfully. They'll ask you a question real quick, and you can shoot that out to the expert. And that's really neat. But and you mentioned that we talked individually. You know, you could use some equipment, so maybe we can work on some grants to get this to a bigger. But you know, not necessarily a college show, but I think you have such a target audience. You have athletic trainers, and you have this expert panel that you can bring in. And I think that's huge. And I think the profession needs to know about that more.
And you know, Dr. Yellen was, I didn't know how many, but he said there's 41,000 athletic trainers, and I mean,
certified athletic, plus Texas LAT as well. Yeah,
and so, you know, if you had 41,000 people listening every week, that would be pretty phenomenal. You know, and I'm not trying to appeal to people that have in no way, aren't sports medicine people at all. You know, and it would be cool if it's relevant to anybody, but, you know, sports medicine people are our audience. And then also there's all the people that are like me that teach, and next year I'll have 15 students in my sports medicine one class. So anybody like that that's a teacher that can do, they can put this on live,
and that's,
their students.
That's what I want to do. Is, you know, you mentioned we have 41,000. We have, I don't know, probably a few hundred, maybe 1,000 athletic trainers in Texas. We have PTAs, we have PTs, and you know, that's a tremendous pool that is. We could have an audience that's just for the sports medicine topic. We're not talking about, you know, regulation issues in physical therapy. We will talk about governmental or regulatory issues in athletic training. And you mentioned something interesting is just bring students in to learn about the sports medicine profession. So I think that's where, when I first visited you, I was so blown away. And I told you 1,000 times, this is such an asset. And but yeah, you don't want us to come in and you know, you want to keep this at a student level. But if you do, I think we need to think of things like writing grants to the NAT or technological grants, or you know, look at Memorial Hermann Sports Medicine Group, and how can we get them involved and get them out there as well. But I just think that it's like I said once, it's a powder keg we're sitting on, but we don't want to take away from your focus and your mission, which is to keep the students involved.
Right.
But yet at the same time, you have a tremendous educational opportunity that athletic trainers can sit there on the football field while they're walking around with a little microphone in their ear, put their smartphone on, and listen to a podcast and get CEUs. And so as long as we keep it so that it's allowed for CEUs, which is a challenging, you know, curriculum kind of thing, and really talk about focused issues, even though put it down to a student level, I think that's a tremendous asset. So I think this is just huge. And now here you are at a conference pulling speakers after they talk to get a one-on-one. I think people listening, or when they download the podcast, they can get so much information out of that. And it's so much different than reading a journal article.
Right.
You know, but I think advertising, we need to get in the NATA news, and maybe TSATA, Bob Mother, do a couple of e-blasts again, and just say, this is, you know, we're trying to expand this, and we need individuals involved. But I really think it's cool that you invite people to talk. So anybody out there is eligible. They don't have to be invited. They don't have to sell themselves to you. And I think that's just, I mean, maybe someday we'll have to invite, because we get so many requests that we have to pick out a hot topic or whatever. But it's huge. And so I guess I've kind of got what I wanted out of it. So did you have anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, I'm excited, and I would like to make it larger. You know, there's obviously, I would want to improve the quality of the video stream, and I want to improve the quality of the audio. And, you know, sometimes my studio is split into one. There's one large room that's split by some metal shelves that I put up, and so in the other side, there's football watching film. So you may hear the coaches yelling at the kids, or telling them the job, or cussing, whatever, during the middle of one of the shows on some Wednesday. So you know, obviously, I'd like to have that move, but I don't think it's diminished anything. I think it really is, like you said, it's just inviting people. There's been a really good response to that. And then, you know, you get amazing people like Dr. Penny Wilson that invited Brett Singer, hey, you really need to go on this thing. You know, and it was cool. I'm glad we got to talk to Brett, and I'm sure I'll talk to him again. I've interacted with him a couple of different times after that, asking questions, and then just telling you guys to be on it.
And I think that's kind of a tribute back to you, because it's well run. It's not, you know, you get up there and, you know, everything was lined up, it was ready to go, and the students were interactive, and you were, you dictated stuff very well. It's like, okay, you're going to talk about this, and I think that was a big part of why she invited people, because it was a well-run program. So I don't see that suffering, obviously, at a bigger level, but, I mean, that's a tribute back to you.
I'm excited, and look forward, and as we continue to talk about this, I made some notes here about stuff that we would like to do. I'm going to consider it really important. You have any sweet pictures of me over there?
Paying you back.
You know, and you'd said something about, you know, I'm not getting any money. And, you know, if there was an opportunity to have a corporate sponsorship, I would do that, but it would be to put back in the program. It's not like to pay me.
To reinvest in your program.
So if, say, the NET or Memorial Hermann, if you're looking behind me, you know, they're allowing us to do this. If they were to invest a bunch of money, it would improve the equipment or maybe make it so that the students all had a polo that said Memorial Hermann so that whenever they're on the podcast, you know, Memorial Hermann can get branded. Those things that will improve the profession and, you know, maybe allow for us to do more mobile stuff where we go out to more conferences and, you know, improve the quality that way. But, you know, at this time, I'm not really seeking anything. There's, like, if you watch the broadcast when I'm at the school, I have a banner behind me that's fun for teachers because athletic trainers, I don't know what the numbers are, but a lot of them work in high school with students. And so when I talk to Stephanie Asherall from Fun for Teachers, you can write a grant to go to the Summer Olympics. They'll pay up to $5,000 for you to travel to the Summer Olympics so that you can meet and interact and learn from the sports management professionals. Or, like, I'm planning to write one to go get certified with the FMS and FMA, and it just happens to be one in, like, Australia or, you know, different places like that over the summer. You know, there's some other...
Just happened to be.
Yeah, just happened to be in Vancouver or Australia. And so those kind of things, you know, I want to continue to promote those things that I have experience with, but that it's not about making money in any way. It's really about...
It's improving the delivery.
Yeah, improving the profession. Because I do learn a lot. I listen to Family Life Today podcast, and it's about family life. It's about how to model my family after Christ, and I learn a lot by listening to that. And so that's what I want for this podcast, is that they're trainers to learn a lot. You know, obviously, it's not the same as going to a class and putting your hands on your knee and feeling what the lock is right into your drawer.
I think when you bring in experts, one of my things is, what's the current trend? What is out there that we need to know about? We don't read Orthopedic Journal. I mean, we might, but I don't read the ADA's journal, and that's where the most recent literature is at. So what can they bring? Just tell them, you know, what is going on that's new, that maybe the current trend or the focus, because there's many people that were taught something many years ago, and that's what they still do.
Yep.
Maybe that's been shown that it doesn't work anymore. And so that's what I think this is. It's live broadcast. You bring an expert that knows the literature, and they're gonna tell the audience, this is what something you need to think about. Start reading up on this, because it's true, and at the same time, this is what's crap in the literature, or crap in the advertising you see on TV.
Right.
I asked the dietitian this morning, and I said, how do you differentiate between what's on TV for supplements and what really works?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great question, because that's her job. She's the filter for people to go to. Don't go to Google and get the advertisements and
right.
say, this will work for you for $199.99 plus shipping and handling.
Right.
You know, go to the experts and ask them. I think that's a big delivery tool. This allows it. It's just exactly what you were saying. It's geared, it's focused, and it brings in the expert to give that current knowledge that's out there without, and it saves the athletic trainer time. So, I mean, it's just it's almost cliche now. It's a huge asset to them. I just can't talk enough about it. I'm just learning about it myself.
I don't know that I have necessarily anything else. Now, I will say that when Sarah did it, we weren't doing it every Wednesday. We were doing it when we could get it done. We weren't doing it during football season, so we didn't do it during fall football or spring football because we were busy setting stuff up, and I didn't want to deal with the guys being in there. But, you know, I was like, look, this is one of the best ways to connect with people is having regular content. So I was like, I'm not doing anything over the summer. So for the past 3 years, I wasn't doing any podcasts over the summer. Well, I always come to this workshop, and I was like, you got experts, I got content, and then, like I said, God just puts you guys in my life at the right time to where you guys handle most of the interviews. You guys are experts talking to experts. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. And so I'll be able to, you know, edit, produce these, and post them over the summer, and I've already got some of the interviews that we guys did with you guys scheduled to release, like, through June 20th. So I'm going to have something released every Friday for the summer, and then, you know, through August or whatever, until we get everything rolling again with the students, then I've already got stuff being released, so there's a continuous
stream. So there's no dead time in football season.
Right. And so, last year we actually did it all year long, and I think there was 30 episodes that we did, and then, so, like, it'll be probably 50 or, you know, 60 And as long as we keep Dr. Yellen off the mic, it'll only be an hour once a week.
It'll be less than 2 hours if Dr. Yellen's on the mic. But that's, I think that's important because you have the opportunity for all these shows. You need experts to fill them. So anybody out there that has a topic they want to cover, that is an expert that can give, you know, true opinions on the topic. Or, and I really thought that was a cool idea you did with the ICE, was you did a pro-con or a debate. Mm-hmm. And you had two experts that were staunch in their own opinions right there. Yeah. And I think that was just awesome because that what's really neat about that to me is you're not just getting the same information over. You're getting somebody that says, this is the best, and somebody says, no, I disagree because this.
Yeah.
Well, that makes the first person be an expert. First person will challenge the second. So it really makes you, when you get those kind of things, the amount of information that comes out of those is astounding because you have two completely different opinions with expert information and science behind each. I think I only listened to half of it, but it was fun to listen to. I think those are really neat to have on there because of the amount of information that's out. So.
Yeah, I was really impressed with that one. I mean, you know, for me, like talking to somebody from the New York Giants, Steve Cannelli, you kind of get a little starstruck, you know, you're like, oh, well, that's how they're training for the Giants. And, I mean, he was just as cordial as could be, you know, and he was like, hey, this is really cool. Thanks for having me on here. And, you know, and so he is an expert in this field, and Josh Stone is an expert and does a lot of research and does a lot of reading. And so I really respect both of those guys. I like reading what they post. And so for me, it was really cool to put them together. And like you said, there was about 30 minutes where I think when I edited, it was 30 minutes that I didn't say anything. I just said, this is who it is, what we're doing. We said, go. And then they just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it was awesome.
And they kept it cordial. I mean, there was it was a professional argument.
Right.
It was just bringing the facts and bringing, you know, why I think, and they were very cordial, like you said. It was like, I think he's very smart. He has he makes some great points.
Right.
This is why, you know, and I think that's where that's something our profession needs is we have to know. And this is, it's funny in a way because that's what Dr. Yell and I ran into is we have this Master of Athletic Training program now. But we're in Texas. Texas is LAT.
Right.
You know, and we've run into that to some level. Not, I mean, at a very cordial level as well. But it's why I'm never leaving Texas, so I don't need ATC. So, you know, you guys you're not serving this really much. You're in the wrong place. But we've also had people we've explained. People get married. People lose their jobs. They have to move. People want to get their master's degree. Yeah, other opportunities. And so you don't want to be stuck here. And that's not why at all why we're doing this, because you know we want to be in Texas. We're doing it to provide a service. But there's individuals, too, that may go to college for a few years and decide that, hey, I want to be an athletic trainer. But I haven't been a student athletic trainer in college. So I'll go get my master's degree. We get a master's degree, get my ability to pass my certification test or get qualification for it. And there we are. So on the same level, I mean, you can have an argument. It's not an argument like you think of traditionally. It's a professional argument. You're just making points, and you're supporting your stance on something. I think that was really neat about that pro-con. I'd love to hear more of those. I mean, that was really fun to listen to for me as well. So
Twitter is @PHSSportsMed. You can tweet me, or email is jhjackson@passingisda.org. All of that can be found on sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. And then, you know, if you have an idea, a topic that you want to talk about, you want to hear about, then either send me your name and then we'll get you on, or the topic and then we'll find experts that in that field. So, I mean, that's the one thing that I feel is really lacking, because, I mean, I got the website, I got the pretty good sound quality, pretty good video, you know, and I feel like I'm getting experts, but I just don't feel like I have a whole lot of interaction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just looked at the thing last night, and I've only been using the Blueberry Statistics since October, but I have over 10,000 downloads since October. And so I'm like, if there's that many people listening, downloading, then why isn't anybody interacting? I know Mike Hopper does. He interacts quite a bit.
Yeah, he's done a lot, yeah.
And so, you know, Mike, I really appreciate you interacting, and, you know, good luck on finding a job down here in Texas. But I want more people to interact, to ask questions.
Yeah, you want the live interaction, absolutely. And I'm gonna after this is over, I'm going to talk to you about maybe just a simple email to the NATA News and see what it takes to get it a blurb in there that this is going on live at Wednesday at 10 o'clock, joining live for the feeds and as well the downloads. So we'll see what we can do on our side as well. But the benefit is there. We just need to get it out there.
And then, you know, in a lot of shows I talk about, it's on iTunes. It's on, you know, most of the places you get your podcast. So if you rate it in iTunes, you don't have to write a review. If you write a review, it's better. But if you just rate it, then it allows other people to find it. So the more ratings it has, then obviously it's more popular for iTunes directory, so it's easier for someone to type that in to find it, or it pops up at the top of the list instead of at the bottom of the list when you type in sports medicine. And so, you know, if you're listening, if you download this, then you just go rate it in iTunes or in wherever you get those from. And so that'll help us get the word out as well and help people find it. Anything else?
We've talked enough, so I just wanted to, it's funny, Jeremy wasn't really keen on this interview. I think he was kind of likes to stay behind the scenes, but I really thought this would be important for people to listen to know how this came to be and where it's going to go and everything, but it also gives him a chance to kind of talk about, you know, these ideas that he just had as a simple, started as a biology podcast, and it turned into what is just this great opportunity for continuing ed for our profession. So if anybody out there wants to join in, please email them. You can find that at the sportsmedicinebroadcast.com and get on the show and get your ideas out there. Keep listening and spread the news. So.
Well, this is how I normally end it. So for Jeremy,
Jasmine,
and Mark Knobloch,
that's a wrap. That's how we normally end it, but we don't have to end it.
We're going to end it, but we're going to keep going.